So why don't you start by giving us a rundown of how these new details work and how this differs from the current guidelines?
Sure, absolutely. By way of background, it's helpful to review the two executive orders that largely shaped the entire classification program, Executive Order 12958, and now its replacement, 13526. With two big exceptions, the legacy processes and procedures for classification and declassification are largely the same. There are some minor differences, but in large measure, the procedures for classification carry over from the Clinton and Bush orders into President Obama's. So the first big change in this new executive order, of course, is the creation of the National Declassification Center, or NDC, which is within NARA in College Park, Maryland. NDC as an organization is presently focused on clearing a backlog of about 400 million pages of previously reviewed records and then making them available to the public, required to do so by the end of next year. And DOD personnel are there with the rest of the interagency, helping them do just that. We've been there since inception, and in our new manual, we clearly address National Declassification Center and the need for our support.
So is that the only big change, that it recognizes the fact that there is this new center?
I know. Another major initiative within the EO is, and it's been very, very helpful for the DOD to focus our classification efforts and planning, is the Fundamental Classification Guidance Review, or the FCGR, which has been underway since last year. And through the FCGR, DOD has made really enormous strides in updating nearly 1,800 security classification guides. And as a result, we're on track to deliver our final report to the Information Security Oversight Office, a major overseer of ours, on time this summer. A couple months it's going to be due. Again, our manual addresses FCGR as well.
Perhaps that preempts my next question, but the president did issue this memo back in 2009. I was going to ask you, what took so long to develop the manual? Was it just simply that you had a lot of documents to go through, or were there other hurdles?
I guess simply put, the broadest answer to that is just the size of the DOD and the broad scope of the manual. We had our revisions pretty much ready to review by the fall of 2009, which was just in time for the new executive order to come out. So we had to go into a relook and rewrite to accommodate, you know, all the changes that came with the new executive order. And then the manual also had to be reformatted into a four-volume set to comply with new rules from folks who issue DOD policy. It actually was a good outcome. It made it a lot more clear and easy to use. Once the manual is written, then it has to be coordinated upon for comment. A variety of legal sufficiency reviews are conducted, and then there's final editing and publication. Bottom line, this is a very, very large effort, and it's conducted across the entire department. Essentially 40 or so large component organizations. Each have an opportunity to offer comments, and then each comment has to be adjudicated and resolved, and everybody comes out to comment, to include in DOD and then also with our partners in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So as a result of this process, we elicited about 800 some comments that had to be worked through, and you see them in final form, complete in the manual. So as issues are identified, they have to be worked out. You know, every security program has to be consistently executed by everyone, and this just takes a lot of patience and determination from a really dedicated group of people to put the document together as comprehensively and, frankly, elegantly as they have. It says OSD on the cover, but everyone from DOD is represented in the pages.
Our guest is Ed Kaufold. He is the Information Security Chief for the Undersecretary of Intelligence at the Defense Department. And sir, if I'm someone who's an advocate of open government, as we mentioned, it's Sunshine Week this week. If I'm someone who's an advocate of open government, which I guess as a member of the media I am, what's in here for me to like? What tangible benefits are we going to see, if any, where the rubber meets the road?
Again, I guess I would have to point you back to the really ferocious determination on the part of DOD components to support the National Declassification Center and getting that information finally evaluated and then released to the American public. That's that's the biggest piece of openness that we can really point to from this. And then obviously, again, the FCGR helps us properly classify information. Secrecy, you know, we can't afford unnecessary secrecy, but we have to have at least some of it. That's our challenge in a nutshell. And I think the manual in each of the volumes reflects that kind of sentiment and really shows how we're trying to do it right.
This question's a little off the beaten path, but I noticed that in the new guide, you're directing the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Network and Integration, to direct some new technical means to detect the unauthorized copying of classified data. I thought that office was going away. Is that function getting absorbed into somebody else now? Do you know off the top of your head what that one's referring to?
Yes. Networks and Information Integration, or NII, actually went away. I believe it was the end of last year, early this year. It's now wholly within the DoD CIO, and we work extraordinarily closely with CIO on a range of projects to secure the DoD's networks and to provide them with the policy requirements for how information must be protected. The DoD CIO then puts that together or instantiates it in their technical policy. So our policy feeds directly into the CIO's technical requirements for how DoD protects its networks worldwide.
Understood. Ed Kaufhold is Information Security Chief in the Defense Undersecretary of Intelligence Office. We appreciate your time this morning, sir. Very informative.